digital learning that's dramatically different. Welcome to this TED Learning podcast.
Hiya and welcome to the TED Learning podcast. I'm Lou and you're also going to hear from my sister Jocelyn. We're here to chat to you about the things that inspire us during Black History Month. Let me take you back to a moment that really made me go, oh, this is interesting. Like, hopefully you saw it. In the summer months, we had the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. And you know, I felt so silly I didn't put tickets and go.
Me too.
Long story. But going back to that moment, sat on the sofa watching the TV, the closing ceremony of the Commonwealth Games was a celebration of music. And quite a big chunk of that was celebrating Black music. Mm-hmm. They went on to then celebrate other cultures of music like Bhangra and Indian style music, which was fabulous. But what I really liked and enjoyed seeing was homegrown Birmingham talent, Beverly Knight.
Oh yes, she was great.
Singing with Goldie, the DJ. Yes. And then they brought back Musical Youth and all these kind of different. And it made me go, and do you know what? It made me then sit there and like the Rolodex in my mind started flicking through Black music.
Mm.
And not just Birmingham, but all the Black UK talent that we've witnessed. So Soul to Soul. Mm-hmm. And how that wasn't just music, it was a movement.
Mm.
It was, what is it? Jazzy B had like a say, what was it? Music for a loving race in a like
something bass. Yeah.
But it was this thing where it's just like, and it captured people who wanted to enjoy themselves, feel good, have a good vibe, sing along to some good tunes. That then obviously was then, the crossover was then when they made it onto Top of the Pops and Widespread. But all these fantastic musicians and musical talent that's come out of this country, but the influences and where it's come from. And I'm always fascinated to watch documentaries and read about these artists and how they take inspiration from like Afrobeats, or they take inspiration from maybe New York hip hop, or from soca or from reggae in the West Indies, and how they kind of mix it, put a bit of a British stamp on it, and it becomes a real label and genre in itself.
Just reflecting a little bit on Windrush, which I think we're going to talk about at some point, but actually I don't think the British government of that time ever saw or envisaged the whole kind of, might sound cliche, but the whole kind of melting pot thing of how that people who then had children here or raised children in this country from the Caribbean, and Africa, how their kids would then come along and create this sort of cultural revolution of music and fashion, but certainly in music, and how it would then influence the musical genres and styles, and how then it would be taken on by so many white British kids who then are part of it and feel part of it. And from the kind of blues clubs and sort of dance hall of the 50s and 60s, of course, you couldn't necessarily get the music that you heard at home, so you then created your own little clubs and meetings. And that was the same for church as well.
Yeah.
You weren't welcomed in the white churches or predominantly white churches, and people would openly come and say that to you. So many Black Caribbeans, you know, of our lived experience, set up their own churches, which our parents were part of.
Yeah.
But going back to music, just seeing the likes of Jazzy B and Don Letts and Normski step out of the comfort zone and do things that are different, you know, DJing and sound systems.
Seal and Gabrielle.
That's right.
Yeah, back in the 90s. And then you bring it up to now, and recently we've had the 20th anniversary of BBC Radio 1 Extra, and I spent a very small period of time working there, very small, like 2 weeks. And I was there at probably about 18 years ago, near the beginning of its journey. And what I found fascinating was the hive of energy. There was a real energy of knowing that we were on the cusp of something exciting.
Mm.
Something where predominantly music of UK Black music at that time was tended to be more pirate. Right. It tended to be pirate radio stations, underground artists, but this was bringing it into the mainstream. It was bringing it to an audience who probably had never heard music like this before, but also had a real deep following. And there was a desire to really carry the torch. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just music, it was our culture. And understanding that, you know, when you do certain music mixes or play certain artists, that you are really championing are people. Mm. That's what I got from being in that space. But I think what I also remember when it comes to black music, and as a kid growing up, you remember when we had MTV, mm-hmm. and when, I mean, I used to spend my days with my nose probably touching the TV screen watching music videos the whole time, because I just loved watching Michael Jackson and Madonna and Prince. But then, again, just seeing more UK artists mm. coming onto MTV and Top of the Pops.
Yes, we're showing our age.
We're showing our age. When people literally be like, quick, they're on. And like, you couldn't pause stuff. You couldn't rewind it. Mm. You had to catch Top of the Pops, Friday 7:30.
Yeah.
Watch it there. And you wait for certain artists to come on to see if they've made it. And then the next game was guessing, are they singing for real? Or are they lip syncing? That was the next thing.
Yeah.
And on our TV, do you remember, we had a bass button mm. where if you really liked a song, it put the bass on. And as the youngest, I'd run up and press the bass button. And one time I made the faux pas and turned the TV off by accident. Yeah. Do you remember that? Everyone, no! It was like a premiere of like a new music video and I turned it off. But again, just that thing about music being a moment and being celebrated. And, you know, I love all music. I mean, one of my favourite artists, for goodness sake, is Paul Weller. I've seen him perform 10 times. But there's something about black UK music that's just so special and that resonates. And I think what was quite interesting for me this year is not only to see the anniversary of One Extra, but also Wireless Festival and how that kind of was being headlined by all female black artists, some American, some British. Mm-hmm. But again, that kind of recognition of the talent that we have here. And what really interests me is when I watch musical documentaries and it's our artists that are being named as inspiration. Mm. So people like Stormzy, their name's being dropped a lot, and for what he's doing in the musical world, I think is brilliant.
It is fantastic. And I think it's also how then filmmakers like Steve McQueen has then made sure that when he made the Small Axe anthology, that then the song Silly Game, sung by Carol Thompson.
Yes, classic.
He then has made sure that goes into kind of, if you were putting together a time capsule of that time for black British people, making sure that song was a big part of the party scene,
yeah.
Then meant that it kind of it gets kept, it's recorded, it's there. Yeah. So anybody looking for a reference point then has that and connects with that. So that's really, really interesting that he really felt so passionately. And actually so many of us, obviously not our nieces and nephews in their early 20s, they've now come to the song new, but actually so many of us of a certain age knew that song straight away. The minute we heard it, we were like, we were right back there. You know, whether your family, our family was quite religious, so we didn't even always go to what they call the shabims and the clubs.
Yeah, it's true.
But we knew that song. You know, our older brother Nigel, he played that song. He must have worn that record out.
It's true.
So we knew that song, and it's like shorthand for a young British youth trying to find their own space within, you know, there, because there were so many genres, you know, whether it be punk, whether it be rock, you know, there were clashes, there were trials and tribulations,
where
people were trying to find their way forward. So having their own, what they called Lovers Rock. Having that own space.
Sound systems.
Exactly.
And I love to see that translated now in Notting Hill Carnival.
Yeah.
You know, this is the thing, again, music has been transformed and put onto such a new platform. And I say a new platform, but a wider platform where, you know, it's known to be the biggest street party, and music is such a big part of that. And, you know, last time I went to Carnival and stood by a sound system and you feel the bass and it's like rippling through your chest. And you're like, wow, we're at Carnival. You can feel it. And then you're hearing like some soca that way. You're hearing some reggae that way. You've got bass behind you and it just grabs you and pulls you in. And I think that's what is so lovely about it in terms of the music that we create in this country and how it's representing us really across the world.
I'd also add as well that I think for a long time it was felt that we couldn't bring our authentic selves, and I'm really proud to see the generation coming up now. I'm making myself sound really old, but to see them authentically being themselves. So this is who I am. I'm of a black heritage, or, you know, I'm of African heritage. And this is the music I play, and this is how I dress. This is how I wear my hair. This is how I am in the street. And I think actually there were times where we I'm generalising, but we probably felt we had to fit in. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to name check one of my favourite artists, Grace Jones, because I think she's always been herself.
Pioneer.
And she's also always brought her Jamaican-ness to everything she's been doing, but also been really proud of, I'm going to make something that's a bit more avant-garde. I'm going to be involved in a photo shoot that's not how black women are perceived, But actually, that strength and that courage and that conviction still sees her at the top of her game and still sort of exporting her style. And whether you would wear what she would wear or you'd go out in the way she does. But the fact that she's so proud and so bold, I think that's a statement to us all, to women, to black women, and to women of a certain age as well. But actually, she's covered the whole range. And when you saw those like fashion photos by Helmut Lang in the sort of 70s and 80s, and there was her and Jerry Hall and Marie Helfin. I'm going back in time now, but the fact that she just stood out as a dark-skinned black woman who was proud of who she was and brought her kind of island life and, as you know, with her and made sure that everybody knew about it. I think that's something that if people are feeling a little bit like, oh, who am I and where I am, people like that just reminded us that we could be who we are.
But don't you feel nowadays when you watch certain music videos and people who are doing all that, you're like, I've been done before. I've seen that before. Grace Jones did that. You know, Lady Gaga and her outlandish outfits and stuff. You're like, seen that? We've seen this before. But yeah, that is good. That's all from us. You can search the TED Learning podcast or go to the website, tedlearning.co.uk.